Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks very much for joining us. I just got back not too long ago from an annual conference of a group of people that are certified to be exit planners, and they're specialists in helping business owners to find their exit and their path. And the numbers are alarming as far as the number of business owners out there who don't have a succession or exit plan, and they need alternative solutions. And my next guest is going to talk about that. He's John Ayling. He's joining us from LD Holdings in Ohio. And John and his company are in the business of acquiring small to medium-sized businesses that are owned by baby boomers who don't have a succession or exit plan strategy. And we're going to talk about the shortage of financing capital for financing sales of baby boomer businesses and why it's such a crisis today. John, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
John, tell us a little bit about LD Holdings and how it got started and a little bit about you.
Well, LD Holdings is a small public company and got started after the housing crash that happened with the last financing problems that we had. There are 25,000 businesses that are out being looking to be sold right, 25 million businesses that need to be sold right now. And there's a tough part of the financing system that's being not addressed. The $2 to $20 million business, what I'm trying to say, you can usually get startup capital from friends and family, and then you go to your institutional or your banks, your regional and community banks for financing. Then you go to institutions. But with the Dodd-Frank regulations that came on after the market problems and this intersection of the baby boomers, 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 every day, there are these $2 to $20 million businesses are kind of in no man's land because they're too large for individual finance and too small for an institution to finance.
They're the fabric of America. They really are everywhere you look. That's what built America and made it great is these size businesses, right?
Yes, it's 75% of all the net new job creations in the country. And there's just a when the Dodd-Frank regulations came on, they were aimed at the money center banks, the large ones that caused the derivative problem. But they hit all community banks. They hit all banks, which are the community and regional banks, which are the lifeblood of small business. So when these regulations came on, it made it very tough for these smaller businesses to get financing, even if they did have a buyer. So the key is that with all these boomers coming on to tire and they run up against this financing, it's a real problem. So LD Holdings is trying to serve three constituents, the baby boomer business owners that sit in these $2 to $20 million businesses. We want to bring in younger entrepreneurial leaders that might be able to take over for these boomer businesses and investors in a zero interest rate world. We believe we can get venture type returns, 25 to 35% returns without the venture type risk because we're buying existing businesses that have brand equity and all the ingredients that startups don't. So we think it's a win-win-win for three constituents of society.
Now, one of the things that you said right in the beginning was you started right after the housing crash, and the housing crash was also responsible for the inability of key employees who might mortgage their house, you know, might take some equity out as a down payment or as a payment for a business. That was a source of resources that evaporated very quickly, too, at that point, right?
Yes, that's true. That there was some of the financing that would be through banks. They would get a second mortgage through some type of a bank that held a mortgage, either first or second mortgage for them. And those, the money was dropping out the bottom of the value system with these rates going down. And so the government opened up the spigots to pour more money into the top to try to reliquify the banks. But they've left behind these small businesses. And you know, you have these people, like I said, 10,000 of them turning 65 every day, and they just keep coming. But yet they run up against these regulations, and it's a real problem. And this is not a problem with the Farm Belt or the or the oil patch or technology industry or something. This is a societal problem that's happening in every community and every industry in the country. And so there's a big need for this and a good opportunity for people that can bring together these three constituents.
Well, the other thing is that, as you said, I mean, you have so many people turning 65, but this is just the beginning of people turning 65. That's going to be happening for the next 15 or so years because the baby boomers, as you know, were born between 1946 and 1964. So at the youngest, they're 51 now, and at the oldest, they're 69. So this is a problem that's going to face a lot of it's going to get more and more urgent as the older ones get older and get to the point where they're saying, you know, plus we had the pent-up demand after 2008 where a lot of people said, hey, there's no E in my EBITDA. I can't sell.
Yeah.
There's no multiple that's going to work for me. So how do you see this overall landscape in the next, say, 15 years playing out with the baby boomers?
Well, there's going to be an excess supply of businesses, and if this financing doesn't get taken care of, there's going to have to be alternative types of financing that come in. There's going to have to be maybe more seller financing done by people that are selling their businesses, and it's going to be tough. Now, if the government addresses that and helps out small business somehow, then it might I don't know what's going to happen in the next 15 years, but I know one thing: there's a supply coming. And
the
financing of these is not a problem just for the baby boomers. It's a problem for everybody who owns a business. So it, the buying side or the financing side or the money coming in is going to be a problem for anybody. But the supply side is going to be especially acute with the people from the bulge that went going through the economy, the 78 million people that are in the baby boomer generation.
And the owners are nervous because if they're going to be carrying those notes, their only return is interest, and it could evaporate in a hurry. As we know, a lot of times these smaller businesses are managed by the owners, and they may not have employees or managers who have the savvy to get through the next economic downturn or the next big mistake.
That's right. That's right. A lot of these companies were sort of a job for the owner built around a company, and he's a key guy, and if he can't find the qualified people and he's taking back a lot of notes and stuff, he might have to stay around for a while to make sure that that gets done. So it's an inflexibility to the owner. It's an opportunity for the younger generation, the younger entrepreneur leaders, we call them, if they can take these companies and ramp them and scale them, because they have everything that venture capital doesn't. They have customers, they have employees, they have brand equity, things like that. And what we're doing is we're taking them from a private, non-public, non-transparent, non-liquid state, which is the private market, into the public market, which is transparent and liquid. And we get a bump in valuation of sometimes 2 to 3 times. So there's a real arbitrage from our point of view. There's a real arbitrage in those. So it's really a win-win. If an owner would come in and sell to us and take some of our stock as part of the purchase price, he might be even get more than what he's getting for his business by the accumulation of the businesses we're buying.
Yeah, most owners I know don't like. Didn't really run their business to be transparent. There was a lot built into the P&L that were personal expenses and expenditures, and a lot of times in their planning they need to factor that in. But like you say, if you're coming in and now you're going to have to act like a publicly traded company, there's going to be a lot more profits that are going to come to the bottom line when you scrub out some of those other things that were in the P&L.
Yeah, and then when you do that, it almost geometrically opens up the sources of financing from the institutional market, because you're putting it in a state that they recognize that they can do, which they'll look at, because they have liquidity and transparency they will own in size.
It's
a plan that we're very proud of, and we think we can execute. And these small businesses are. are really the key, and they're the opportunity. They're the problem for the people that own them, along with the financing, but they're the opportunity for the next generation. If it's not their children, then the buyers. And if you can get highly incented young, what we call YELs, or younger entrepreneurial leaders, we can we think we can get great rates of return for our particular shareholders.
So it boils down to, like, what you're saying is successor management and grooming and developing successor management is always key to a small business if they can do that, because most of these kind of strategies rely on the continuity of the business and really teaching what you've learned to younger people. And you've set the stage very well for us, and I know there are alternatives, like in internal things like ESOPs if you can get them, SBA funding, which is tough depending on the creditworthiness of the person that's going after it. How does LD Holdings specifically assist these baby boomer owners with an exit strategy? What does it look like from let's say the start to finish?
Well, we have our company divided into two categories. One is our business services area, and the other is our operating area. So operating companies that we believe we can use that arbitrage that I just talked about and get high rates of return for our investors. But in this business services area, we will look at companies that have to see, get them prepared to sell and try to shore up any problems they might have, whether they have weak financials or they don't have any marketing plan or something like that, and try to help them understand what people look for and what they're going to be looking for if they're going to be buying a company.
Yeah, what makes them attractive to a buyer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we've got several people that are with our company that in different competencies that we're focusing on these smaller businesses, these ones that are sort of orphaned in the market right now, and we think it's these $2 to $20 million businesses. Now, that doesn't mean we can't look at one under that or over that, but that seems to be. The market that's kind of left out. They're too big for most individuals to finance on their own, but they're too small for most institutions to look at.
Absolutely right. And so, what on the operating side, what types of businesses are in? What's your sweet spot for that, or is there one?
For us personally, we're looking for. I mean, I have a little bit bias. I'm just talking about our company personally. I have a little bit of bias that we're looking for our company something that's. Have repeatable revenue model and have kind of like non-discretionary services type stuff, because I think we're going to, we might be going into a little tougher times and with the way our country is with the balance sheet they have and everything. So we're looking for us personally like that. But as far as helping people in any business, as long as they provide a service and as long as they, can beat their cost of capital and produce a return, we think anybody who can compete in the marketplace and say you got to do two things in business. You got to increase sales and decrease costs as a percentage of sales, and you're okay. So when you can do that and you have a somewhat of a niche or a franchise like in the area you're in, then you have something probably pretty valuable to sell to someone.
Yeah, and it seems to me like I know when private equity groups, when they try to bundle up businesses that they've got in their portfolio, they look for synergistic opportunities because then they can all work together as in the inside the portfolio bag, if you will, and help each other with some synergistic, I'll originate some new services and they'll go over to this firm and that firm and that firm, and they just look for that kind of synergy. So I would imagine you're looking for that, but also is it safe to say that there are some businesses that are just in dying industries that it would be very difficult to grow them if you looked out 10 years?
Yeah, I mean a lot of things are getting disrupted, and that's why my background, you asked me that a bit earlier, I've been a money manager most of my life, and I use a value contrary value style, and we look where the value is, and it's the same thing. And I look at the business the same way. You have to be able to have sustainable revenues and sustainable margins. And if you can't, if you have a lot of revenue but your margins are there's so much competition, you're just trading dollars with each other, and you're really not creating any value. So you have to, you know, you have to look at the market and see who's, what kind of moat you have around your market, or what kind of barrier to entry that they might have. Because especially, you know, if you're in technology, I mean, something gets executed, obsoleted, seems like every year or so.
Yeah, and printing and things. You know, there are some old great businesses that were just fantastic cash cows for many, many years, and then technology caught up with them. So let me ask you a question. Is geographic constraints, do you have those, or are you looking for a specific area around you? You're in the Ohio area, so is there a particular area you're looking for, or are you looking all over the country?
We're initially looking for about a 250-mile radius from where we sit in northwest Ohio, but our opportunity is anywhere because, like I said earlier, this is a problem that's happening in every community and every industry because it's a societal problem. It's not a particular industry problem because of the financing things. But for us, we're looking for a we're only limited by our access to capital and our access to talent because we know the businesses are out there, and we know that with the proper management and the proper financing of them, that the geographical area doesn't make a difference. As far as advising people, geographical area doesn't make a difference. But as far as operating, we tend to try to stay a little more within a sort of a span of control, a management control, at least geographically.
Half a day drive.
Yeah, that's about right. It's exactly right. 250 miles, to touch, about half a day drive.
I'm sure you want to be able to be physically able to come in and spend some time there or have your people do that. Now, let me ask you a question, because the real problem out there today is that a lot of business owners think they have their plan in place. They say, you know, at 65, I'm going to sell. I'll be here for 3 years. I'll earn my way out of it, and everything will be great. And then something happens, a health issue. They lose their fire in their belly. They're just, something else happens. It could even be a death. And how important is it for people to have a backup strategy like yours at that point? And are you interested in those if they're well-run businesses?
Sure. I mean, that's if we have the talent and the opportunity, we're interested in any of those type of businesses. Our model is to run, I'm talking about our model, not the advising people, but our model is to run a decentralized management type of a model where we push the responsibility down, the responsibility and the opportunity down to the company, and then we help them with all the support services. It's kind of like a Berkshire model, Berkshire Hathaway model with a very, very thousandth of that size or something. But that's kind of what we're looking at for these $2 to $20 million businesses.
John, it makes a lot of sense. We're running short on time, but I'd like you, if you could, to give our listeners two or three tips on what they should be thinking about to prepare to come to you and for you to say, we're interested in your business.
Well, number one, I'm in the financing business, so your financials really have to be in pretty good shape, especially if it's something, we have to have them so that we can do SEC audits. Now, that we're not necessarily saying they have to have the SEC audits done, but they have to have trackability of their their sources of where they bought, what they sold, what barges they ran, in their financial statements. I think they should have an idea of what the opportunities are. What, like I said, not in a dying business, but what kind of opportunities they see, because they're in the industry and we're kind of not. We have to find some. We have to either use those people as advisors to us, or we have to find people that are in that industry. So they have to know the industry pretty well, which they should. I just think that it has to be something that would be appealing to them to buy. You know, whatever they're, I don't know, you know, if they were looking at a company, would they, what would they need?
Okay. So what I hear from you is take care of your financials, because they're going to have to be clean and cleaned up. Know your industry and be able to communicate what you do within that industry, and run your business like it's an investment, run your business as if you were going to buy it. Take a good look. And of course, if they are not sure if they're in shape there, they can contact you for your business services side of things, John. And what's
You're
the
exactly
best,
right. Yep.
give our listeners the best way for them to find out more about you and your services at LD Holdings.
We have our website, or our email would be, we have two people. You can send it to Glenn or John at ldholdings.com. That's our email contact. Our phone numbers, 630-777-4005. That's for Glenn. 419-873-0454 for John.
Okay, and let me clarify for if you're listening to this, Glenn is G-L-E-N-N at ldholdings.com. And if you just want to look at the website, you can also go to www.ldholdings.com. Is that right, John?
Yes. We do have a webinar also if they wanted to look and see kind of what our business model is and our plan, and it's ldholdingswebinar.com. It's just
perfect.
Our name with webinarin.com.
Hey, it's a real pleasure to talk with you. It's a great service that you're providing for businesses, and the information you gave us today was fantastic. I think it's really helpful to know that there are alternatives out there, and I hope our listeners will get in touch with you and find out more about what you do. And please come back some other time. We just scratched the surface today, but I'd love to talk to you again in the future.
Okay, Bill. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay with us.